A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 17th of September 2020, Thursday class. So we will continue with the Heart Sutta. Okay, so you have, as usual, half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We are off the light now. Then you can just relax body and mind, completely relax, and just maintain awareness to meditate. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, but just maintain awareness. The moment you aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't try to know. Stabilize the awareness. It may take a while for most of you because you have not developed that training, and most of you may not have the stability or sati or awareness to be in that state. So you need to be patient. Just relax, maintain awareness, then allow the mind to settle down. Don't do anything, just maintain awareness. Every time aware, finish. Aware, finish. Because your consciousness is trapped inside your body, physical body. You have the sense basis. So at any of the sense basis, the awareness can arise. You can be aware. Aware of tactile. Aware of sensation. Aware of your heartbeat. Aware of hearing consciousness. Or the smell, the taste, or what. No need to, like, purposely you want to look for it. You're just silent. When you are without thought, you are already aware. So the awareness can pick up whatever that come to you. So maintain the awareness. Don't try to do anything. Don't be like kippo, get drawn away. The awareness, if it's not drawn away, can become very beautiful, very stable. So just relax, maintain awareness, and let things be. Then every time, aware, finish. Aware, finish. And if you have the stability or awareness, you can anchor it to your object of meditation. It's up to you. Until the object of meditation become very subtle, very still. Until the mind enters the And later on, for those who has the ability to be aware at the heart area, then you can stay at the heart area. Whatever that is more prominent, you can stay there, remain, develop awareness there. Like if you are able to be aware of your heartbeat, you just stay there, aware, aware, aware. Then the whole process becomes a continuous awareness little. Then even that heartbeat also will become more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more subtle. Then your awareness just follow, be with it, that's it. Then if you are not able to detect the heartbeat, be patient, silent everything, feel around the heart area, then it will arise. Sometimes it may not be the heartbeat, it can be any vibration within your bodily sensation. So if you can stay there and be mindful of it, aware, just do that. When you are just aware without thought, your awareness will stabilize. Then your mind can enter sati after that. That is the training that you need. When your mind enters sati, means everything you come to experience is in sati. Your hearing, your smell, your taste, your tactile, your thought process, your sensation, your feeling, everything you can experience it in that awareness, because your mind has entered sati. So you can hear with sati, smell, taste, tactile, we feel and think with sati. So that mind that has sati is like very clear, very sensitive, is like a flow. It can just flow specific phenomena awareness, or it can be spacious awareness without a center to understand what is going on. So that is the silent mind in pure awareness, to meditate, to observe, to develop the understanding. That is what meditation is all about. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. I will set the alarm. Then after half an hour, it will trigger off and I will ring the bell 3 times. So on hearing the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed. Because this continuity of mindfulness is very important. Your success in meditation depends on how stable your daily mindfulness is. You cannot be mindful in the midst of life. You cannot be heedful. If you are not heedful, you don't stand a chance. That's the reason why the whole of life is meditation. You must be heedful throughout the day. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you have trained and developed, and you have to stabilize it so that you are mindful or heedful throughout the day in the midst of life, even when you go about doing your career or living your life or do whatever activity, whether it's the household activity or when you are outside of your household, while in the office or moving around, you need to maintain mindfulness. The stability of mindfulness is very important. Without the stability of mindfulness, it's not easy to develop the understanding and the progress. Appendix 3. This one is based on a short notes on lesson 5 of the Satipatthana Sutta and meditation class. So this lesson 5 of the Satipatthana Sutta was held at Wuping Jingse. We also took quite a while, maybe a few months, to finish off the Four Foundation of Mindfulness, the Satipatthana Sutta. And this lesson 5 was so important, so beautiful. Yeah, there was so much Dhamma shared. And because of that, we compile it as an appendix for sharing, because this particular lesson, a lot of very important Dhamma was discussed. So if you can understand, it will help you. There were also some very good questions. The first question is, pure land chanting, is it meditation? So most Theravada practitioners who don't have the past cultivation and deep understanding of what Mahayana teaching and cultivation is all about, especially the Pure Land teaching, Jingtu, they tend to have this doubt. Yes, in the early days, I remember I heard in the discussion there were some of these Theravada Buddhists. They were discussing Mahayana teachings, but they themselves, I realized, don't understand Mahayana teaching. They don't have much understanding or knowledge of what Mahayana teaching is all about. So when they discuss, they come up with all sorts of very funny comment based on just their very little contact with Mahayana. They are mostly Theravada tradition, Theravada based. So initially they thought Theravada has a lot of essential Dhamma, a lot of good teaching. Whereas Mahayana like have deviated. Where Mahayana, they hardly find any teaching. They realize there is a lot of Mahayana Sutta that was so like esoteric, profound, and like over exaggerated to them. To them it's like over exaggerated. And also they realize the Mahayana, especially Pure Land tradition, they chant a lot. They just chant the Buddha's name, the four how, Amitabha, Kunsing, Pusa, then all the various type of chanting. Then they say, by chanting, how can you become enlightened, is it? There is no cultivation, is it? There is no meditation and all those things. So these are the comments that actually was quite, I don't know what word to use, quite frightening in the sense that without proper understanding you comment, it has this karmic. So I refrain from participating. But later on, when I developed the understanding already, I waited for condition to arise before I share and teach. Otherwise, it will end up in argument, leading to misunderstanding and all those things, no point. Then in the year 2004, when Yun Chan came to me and I agreed to come out to share. Then at that time, when I started sharing, I was a bit thankful too. I dare not bring out the understanding of the Mahayana teaching first. I had to accord and flow with the whatever Theravada traditions teaching. Yeah, I also started this life with traditional Theravada training or learning of the Theravada tradition. Then from the Theravada tradition, my nature somehow can understand very fast and very deeply. Then when I received the Mahayana teaching, the books and all those things, I realized I don't need teacher. I read, I understand what that thing is. Then I realized there were a lot of good Dhamma inside there. And actually the teaching is no different. When you understand completely the Theravada teaching, you can also understand Mahayana teaching. There's no difference. That's the reason why later on when I started sharing the Mahayana Sutta, because they were conditioned and people want to understand all this teaching. Then when I started the sharing, people were very surprised because the understanding is so different, so profound, so deep. Then they started attending the classes. Then they asked me questions. And their questions are very beautiful and also sometimes set the appropriate condition for a lot of Dhamma to flow, a lot of good understanding to arise. Even in our Heart Sutta note, that Heart Sutta alone, we have managed to develop a lot of this type of questioning that leads to profound sharing of the Dhamma. Then when it comes to the four foundation of mindfulness, Satipatthana Sutta is actually Theravada teaching, the four foundation. But people who have doubt about Mahayana teaching, they ask this type of question. Pure Land chanting, is it meditation. And now we go back to the notes. That's how it comes about. Right? Then you can, together, we develop the understanding. Right? I remember there's a sister at that time. She asked this question. Right? And I think one of the sisters, Sister Monica, answered quite well. Right? Then I quoted her, I said, just like what Sister Monica said, chanting is also one of the method or technique or skillful means used to anchor your mind. But the Pure Land type of chanting is more than that. So she tried to answer. The answer is quite good actually, because she realized it's like a skillful means to anchor your mind. When you are holding on to the mantra or the chanting, Namo Pen Si Si Chia Moni Fo. So your mind is centered, understand? Not? You develop mindfulness of the Fo Hao, or the Buddha's name, or the chanting that you are doing. So this understanding is also good enough. It's a skillful means, a technique or a method where you can anchor your mind and develop mindfulness on the chanting. So if you understand this, then you will understand why the Mahayana teaching, they stress a lot on chanting. And it's not just one of the skillful means or method and technique to anchor the mind. That's why I say there is more to it. Because this Pure Land chanting is more than that. So I read on, you will understand. Because the Pure Land tradition, they have great faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that they chant. And due to their great vows, the great vows of these Buddhas and Bodhisattva, it can arise the causes and conditions for them to develop the very strong faith to connect to their nature and their vows. So this is very important, because in the Pure Land tradition, they have a lot of great beings, a lot of Samasambuddha, and the greatest of them all is Amitabha Buddha, because of his great vow. He's got 48 very heavy vows. Until it can develop into Pure Land. They call it the land of the paradise where only enlightened beings arise to develop the cultivation. That's why it's called Pure Land. Jingtu. So when you are able to develop the very strong faith, connect to their nature and their vow, then that strength that they have is very unique. That's the reason why they can develop the spiritual faculties very fast. Well, that saddha alone can bring about great transformation. That affinity alone can connect you to their vows and teachings. Then you can understand many things. Then as you develop the faith, you chant and chant and chant until the awareness and the chanting become one. Then you realize there is no one chanting. It's just the awareness nature, the vibration, and the awareness, they have become one. So when that happens, you are actually in the state of awareness. Then you understand the teaching very fast. Yeah, you realize no one is chanting. That's the reason why in the Mahayana tradition, they have this Kongan, K-O-A-N, Kongan, where they give you like a very profound riddle. Not in the sense of a reader. This one is a spiritual reader. The reader is to trigger off inquiry, understanding. I don't call it curiosity, But most of this Kong An trigger of curiosity, like the question, 谁在念佛? Who is chanting the mantra, the Buddha's name? So that one will trigger off the contemplation, the reflection, the inquiry. Then you can develop it through understanding, then it will actually help you a lot, transform you. But you need to develop the training of the chanting until you become very stable, until the chanting develops into pure awareness. The chanting and the vibration of the mantra, they become one. Yeah. Then the form of mind inside connected to this awareness will come to know actually there is no one chanting. It's just the awareness and the chanting, they synchronize and become one. It's like body and mind in perfect harmony. So when you are mindful and aware, the awareness and the movement of the kaya is one. Understand? So when everything is in synchrony and in harmony, means the awareness and the phenomenon move as one, then there is sati, there is mindfulness. That's how the spiritual faculty of sadha leading to virya trigger off sati. That's how it come about. Then when sati stabilize, it develops samadhi. Then through this state of mind that transform, they will realize a lot of dhamma, a lot of understanding. But the spiritual faculties are the mind state of faculties of mind that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. Then when sati and samadhi become very stable, when they read the sutta, or when they chant the Heart Sutta or whatever sutta, they understand very fast. That's how they develop the understanding. Then after that, they also have the Four Noble Truths and the Three Turning and all those things. They also have the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Especially the last foundation where they cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path and this Three Turning. So all this understanding, unless you have gone through the cultivation, you will not understand how the Mahayana do it. So my advice is, if you are not sure, based on your limited understanding, the best is not to comment, not to arise unnecessary karmic obstruction or karmic negativity. Because it's not about right and wrong. Why must we protect our tradition? Why must you divide yourself? You are from the Theravada tradition. They are from the Mahayana tradition. Then later on, the Tibetan tradition also will come in. But the problem with humanity and cultivator of the Dhamma is, within their own tradition also they divide. Theravada itself divide into so many divisions, so many segments. Sometimes they divide in such amazing, I won't use the word amazing, very frightening way. Within the Theravada also, they go and divide into what temple you come from, then which teacher you follow, then what type of meditation you do, is yours vipassana, or is yours insight meditation, or do you develop jhana, then all the various type of meditation techniques and method, they divide based on that. Then whose technique, whose method? I realize it becomes very messy, very complicated. The whole teaching is actually one teaching. Why must we divide? Why must we take sides? Because there is the mundane mind's characteristic. The mundane mind is egoic. It tend to follow the crowd. Understand not? Whatever that is like popular, have a lot of followers. So most of them will cling on to it and join. Then what happens is, after they join, they identify themselves that they are there. Then the human mind has this weakness or delusion where it's egoic. It will cling because you want to protect your own division, your own sectarian, your own sect or tradition, or your Theravada sect of the particular teachings. Then it ends up most of the time arguing, leading to misunderstanding. And when I look at all this, I tell myself, it's not easy to share, because if you come out and share without the proper understanding, you will end up in big trouble. Your people will question you, ask you a lot of things left and right, and if you cannot answer in a harmonious way, peaceful way, leading to non-division, then it's not easy to continue with that sharing. There are bound to be what they call disharmony. Then when you don't want your fellow Kayamitas who learn from you, then they go and quote you. Then they go and argue with people. That is where the problem is. That's why I always, through my own understanding, I caution Kayamita, never do that. Don't try to be right. Don't quote me if you don't understand me. Just share with them. But you share with us the Dhamma understanding. We are Kayamitas. There is no authority. And we try to avoid right and wrong, argument, misunderstanding. We respect each other for our cultivation. Means, I respect you for what you are, and hopefully you can respect me for what I am. And we are here to share Dhamma, share understanding, no right, no wrong. And then that sincere sharing can be beautiful. Then whatever that is useful, make use of it. Instead of arguing to be right and wrong, who argue? Who wants to be right? The ego. So all this, we have to be mindful. So when we come to this type of topic which are very sensitive, be mindful. So this particular question, the reason why I want to answer it is to help break this misunderstanding so that people will refrain from making that type of comment based on their own limited understanding. So when I share, I realize people have better understanding of the various traditions teaching. Then when we explain the teaching from both sides, with the Theravada tradition's understanding crossing over to the Mahayana tradition, then they realize it's the same teaching. The word can be different, the sutta can be different, but the fundamental essential Dhamma that give rise to the understanding and the wisdom is the same, essentially the same. They share the same essence of the Buddha's teaching. Every tradition has the Four Noble Truths. Every tradition has the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Then why must we divide and argue? Why can't we just cultivate, develop the understanding, the awakening? Then when you understand, awaken, you can understand every tradition, then there is no more problem. Then you are no longer limited to your own limited traditions understanding. Then it will help us like break free from all the unhealthy division. That's the reason why in the early years when SJBA, I remember Brother Jim, the president of Subhanjaya Buddhist Association, I think I was invited over there to give Dhamma talk for a period of a few years, I think 2 or 3 years in a row. There was one complete year where he wanted me to help introduce a lot of Buddhist, the true Buddhist understanding of their mission statement and all those things, so that people can get to understand what they do, the exco, the members, and the people who help out in the whatever department that make SJBA what it is today. Then there was one particular topic. This one is based on this book, which is very good. This is a blue book. It's based on a recorded talk that I delivered at SJBA in the year 26th of June 2011, almost 9 years ago, coming to 10 years. The title is The Importance of Promoting True Kayanamittaship Among Buddhist Devotees, Dharma Practitioners, and Cultivators. So if we can promote this universal value of Kayanamittaship, then we can make do away with the various division. We no need to associate ourselves with any particular sect or division. Then we can harmoniously come together as Kayanamittas. Kayanamittas are Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma, who develop the understanding of the Buddha's teaching. That's why we are called Kayanamittas, Dhamma friends. So there are two types of Kayanamittas. One that are still on the training. Kayamita, which walk the path of Dhamma, to cultivate the understanding, to develop the understanding, to perfect themselves. Then there is another type, the Kayamita that has the Dhamma, that has realized, that has awakened. So the second type is very important. You can have Kayamita who has the Dhamma. You are really blessed. Then the Avijja Sutta, the 10th step to enlightenment, the enlightenment cycle, very clearly stated the first step is to have Dhamma friends, Kayanamittas. So having Dhamma friends is the beginning of cultivation. Then when you have Dhamma friends, you have more opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. That's how the step two come in. Then when the step two come in, you keep on listening to the true Dhamma, you reflect, you contemplate, you inquire, then you stabilize your understanding. That's how step three comes in, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then after the faith come in, he will drive you to cultivate and develop more diligence to actually progress along the path of Dhamma. Then the first turning, second turning, and also the third turning wisdom can come in to actually stabilize your understanding, giving rise to step four. Step four is to have the initial wisdom, or what the Buddha called yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wise. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So when you are having attention at the moment of sense experience, if you have wisdom, Es yo ni so una sikra. Then it will prompt you. Then when it prompts you, you will not be deluded. Because this wisdom will help you to free. That's why you will not stir your mind. You will not react. You will not create negativity of mind state. Your mindfulness would have been stable by then. So step four is very important. Developing the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Then when that one stabilizes, your mind state becomes different. You're no longer like last time heedlessly reacting to sense experience stirring your mind. Yet the initial wisdom will make you at peace most of the time. Anywhere, any place, any situation. So when your mind is more at peace, there is more and more tranquility, stillness, space between thought. That's how you become more and more mindful. Less heedless thinking, less negativity of mind states. So all this will follow. Then after that, naturally, you become very stable in your daily mindfulness. It's only when you have the initial wisdom that you are able to have more space between thought. You are more mindful. You are more tranquil. You are more still in your mind state. You are more heedful. Then when that happens, sati sampajana, which is step five, mindfulness with clear comprehension will surface. Then when you stabilize that step five, step four and five move together. You will have sense restraint, automatic. Step six will fall into place. Sense restraint means you cannot break your precept anymore. You cannot react and stir your mind anymore. You cannot arise negativity or mind state anymore. Yeah, you are so sensitive, you are so mindful, you have the yonisomanasikara to protect you. Then when you are able to develop the sense restraint, your precept all in place, then you can move on to step seven, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path factor of the three types of right conduct. With right thought, right speech and right action. So this step seven can unfold. You apply the four right effort, the last two right effort, third and fourth right effort, to cultivate the right thought, right speech and right action that are still not inside, not within you. Then refine upon it and perfect it. So when you are able to do that, means you are cultivating right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, accumulating with the four right effort. So when you finish that training, you would have at least become a Sotapan or a Sakadagami, first or second stage of sainthood. Then after that, you can move on to step eight, which is the cultivation of the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness. So this step eight, cultivating Satipatthana, is very easy. When you've completed and up to step seven, you would have the initial wisdom and the stability of daily mindfulness to understand the four foundation of mindfulness and cultivate it very fast with clarity and with deep understanding. That's how from there you move on to step eight, cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. Then in the sutta it's stated very clearly, when you are able to develop the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, you would realize, the Buddha said, at least anagami, the third stage of sainthood, if there is still some form of subtle, what they call mana, means minor conceit, or subtle delusion. Then you will be able to, from there, continue your cultivation and awaken to realize arahantship. So at least anagami, third stage of sainthood, the realization. If no more minor conceit or what, you will automatically realize arahantship. And then from there, you can decide to cultivate the longer way, the bodhisattva way, to realize sammasambuddhahood. That one is another journey. Then when you are at step 8, cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness, step 9 will arise. You will experience the enlightenment factor. The seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising, the Buddha said. So when you start to be aware of the seven factors of enlightenment, then you realize you're on the right path. You have not gone astray, otherwise the enlightenment factor cannot surface. So what are enlightenment factors? Mind state that can condition enlightenment, that's why it's called enlightenment factors. So all these seven factors of enlightenment, you will start to see them, you will start to understand them. Then the natural consequence of step 9 is, of course, step 10, enlightenment in the here and the now. That's how the 10th step of the Avijja Sutta actually unfold. And this is the most beautiful. So all cultivations start with having Dhamma friends. So my suggestion about that is very good. The importance of promoting true Kaya Mitaship among Buddhist devotees, Dhamma practitioner and cultivator is very good. This book is about almost 10 years ago. And we should thank the person who actually did the transcript. It's a very good book. So what I will do is I will make use of this as our sharing. It's a blue book. Can they see this book? Is it clear? Okay. Anyway, we didn't print this book, but we sent it for photostat. So I still have quite a number of copies. The photostat copy publication was only done in 2016, end of 2016. Yeah. On the website we have. You can go to the website and download it, and you will be able to read through. Then for those who want a copy, you happen to be here, you can ask for it. I think I still have some, not many. Okay, we shall continue from where we stop. I will read through the thing again so that you can develop the proper understanding. Pure land chanting, is it meditation? So the answer is yes. Then because it can help us develop the five spiritual faculties. And I say, just like what Sister Monica said, chanting is also one of the methods or techniques or skillful means used to anchor your mind. But the pure land type of chanting is more than that. Because in the Pure Land tradition, they have this great faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that they chant. And due to their great vows, it can arise the causes and conditions for them to develop the very strong faith. So Sadha is a key factor to connect to their nature and their vows. Their vows are very heavy and powerful because of their great virtue, wisdom and perfection. Hence, all these vows can become part of nature's law, and they will manifest and respond on their own. That is, you don't need to have the Buddha or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva to be all over the places to listen to you and to respond to what you chant or request or aspire. Because of the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas' great vows, you chant with understanding and you do it sincerely with a strong faith, it can help you develop a very strong affinity with their nature. And such faith and affinity will connect you to their vows. And their vows will bring forth the causes and conditions to assist you to progress along the path of Dhamma and help you develop the five spiritual faculties needed for you to develop the meditation and the understanding and the awakening. So that is the reason why Mahayana chanting is also a meditation. Then the other part that people don't understand is you must know how to chant. When your faith is very strong, it will drive you, sadha. Then it becomes like a routine. You will continuously do it because of the faith and diligently cultivate. So sadha virya arise. Then when you chant until no one is chanting, when the chanting and the awareness become one, then you realize, he know you, he know me. It's just the pure awareness, the awareness nature within. Then when they realize the awareness, their sati stabilize, their mind enters sati. And when sati stabilize, they have samadhi. That's how they have the spiritual faculty to awaken. Then they can see things as they are. Then they can understand the scripture, the chanting and all those things. So whatever they do, when they have that sati developed and they're very stable, their daily mindfulness is automatic. For those who have been to the Cameron Highlands Sampo Temple Retreat, you will understand what I mean or what I say. Because if you look at the Tang Jia, the head monk and the supporting Sangha, there are some lady nuns too. Every day, early morning, afternoon and evening, they have their chanting session. And their chanting is so beautiful, so harmonious. The vibration is so strong, the faith and everything and the sutta. They chant various type of sutta chanting. Then they are so mindful, aware. That's why a lot of Kayamita join them. And I remember in the early days, I like to follow them in the chanting. I develop mindfulness, awareness, the faith and the understanding. That is very, very amazing, transforming. Yeah. So that's how they become different. Then you look at the Tang Jia. He go and wash toilet, everything. He walk in the kitchen and he cook very good, beautiful vegetarian food. And when we were there, for those who notice, it seems they like our group. Then they tend to give us very good vegetarian food, and they try to like every day have a different mix of vegetarian dishes and food, so that it's not like repeated and routinely monotonous and all those things. Then even the people who donate the vegetable and all those things and send it out there, they were all organic and good vegetable. They don't send the one that they don't want on. So all of this can happen is because of our Kayamita's good parami and also people's wholesomeness. Then they have a lot of joy when they see us going through the 8 or 9 day retreat. It's very beautiful. So when you see how they go about doing things, they are most of the time mindful and aware, because that training is very beautiful. In fact, if you have the understanding, you must combine both. You participate in the chanting, then you also join our retreat where we have a lot of Dhamma sharing and all things. Then we do a lot of intensive formal meditation. Then you are encouraged to do contemplation, reflection. Then you're supposed to mindfully develop the four postures. and the sati sampajana throughout the day when you are at the retreat, even when you go to sleep, rest, answer nature's call, everything. You look at the program, it's tailored for your transformation. So that retreat condition, if you understand and make full use of it, is so beautiful. Because seldom can you find a retreat that has so much of this understanding incorporated in the program. It's meant to speed up the cultivation and transformation of cultivators. So hopefully the RMCO over next year, we can have our retreat. And then this time it will be very different. Because this MCO is actually a blessing in disguise. Since March, it's almost 8 months already, 7 months already, yeah? 6 or 7 months already, 6 or 1 month. Yeah? So it has helped us in the sense that we don't have to rush through the Heart Sutta. This is the first time I review the Heart Sutta over a period of 5 to 6 months, which is very beautiful. We do it at our own pace. Then we have our discussion and understanding. Then for those who attentively pay attention, they learn very fast. And now the understanding is so much better because we don't have to hurry and we cover topic by topic very thoroughly. Sometimes one whole Tuesday class or Thursday class, one session, we only do less than one chapter. Of course, sometimes we cover 1 or 2 chapters depending on the length of the topic. So all these are very beautiful. Okay, we go back to the notes, the sharing. Okay, the next one is this type of meditation with the spiritual faculty developed, it will lead to heedful living. You may see them like only chanting, but in actual fact, they are training their mind to be heedful. We are mindfulness of the Buddha's name. Or how their faith in the Buddha's name will arise, the strong sadha, due to their repeated chanting with understanding. Then the virya, spiritual zeal, will arise. Then together with the sati developed via chanting, walking and bowing, reverential salutation, it will bring forth the sati and samadhi needed to develop the clear mind, which is the meditative silent mind, without thought. To see things as they are, to arise the wisdom, which is the last of the 5 spiritual faculties. When sati and samadhi are established, then during every moment of their daily life, sense experience, when they see something, hear something, smell, taste, and tactile feel something, they will be very different. Because they were no longer, because they are no longer heedless like before. Instead, they will be heedful most of the time. And their mind states are very peaceful, calm, and just aware without thought. Hence, clarity of mind most of the time. And this is possible because they hold their chanting or mantra with faith and they do it very sincerely and diligently. So that's how the Mahayana chanting can do that. So when the 5 spiritual faculties are developed, they help overcome the 5 mental hindrances leading to the direct seeing. That's how all this can happen. To develop the meditation, we only need to develop the 5 spiritual faculties, which will help us overcome the 5 mental hindrances. Mental hindrances are mind states that hinders one from becoming peaceful and mindful or aware within. These 5 mental hindrances, You don't have to fight them, control or suppress them or worry about them. Because once the five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya are there or developed, the mental hindrance will cease to be. And then the mind with Sati and Samadhi will have the clarity to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom or Panya, spiritual faculty. Then their mind is no longer heedless, and they will no longer see things with the conditioned mind. There is no more seeing with the views and opinion and the egoic mind, and their thoughts will no longer interfere with the direct seeing, which will lead to awakening, understanding, and the enlightenment. They will see the dependent origination, paticca samuppada, within their own form and mind. They will start to understand the Four Noble Truths on their own. Then they will start to see clearly what the Buddha meant by the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties. They will also see clearly the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion within their own mundane mind, and why the Buddha called them evil roots. They will also come to understand the seven factors of enlightenment. They will also come to understand how the seven factors of enlightenment comes to be, and how their sense bases actually function. That is how, upon contact, consciousness and feeling comes to be. And because they have Sati and Samadhi, they also have the ability to see clearly how their delusion, how through delusion one is conditioned into negativity, grasping, clinging and attachment, then how suffering comes to be. Then when they are just silent and just aware, they will come to understand how the arising of the non-arisen hindrance of mind comes to be. Then later on, when they continue to be just silent and aware, they will come to know how the disappearance or abandoning of the arisen hindrance comes to be. Then how through non-delusion, they will know how the non-arising in future of the abandoned mental hindrance come to be, and how all these are possible. This is how they will cultivate the Satipatthana Sutta, or Four Foundation of Mindfulness. Then the next part is leading to enlightenment. This one is the most important. So just now 1.3 is like a revision. You can understand all those things, then it means you have cultivated correctly. And you will see all those things, the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, the Three Virus, mental healing. Then the essential Dhamma, all the teaching, you will understand very clearly. Where your mind state has become heedful, mindful, aware, transformed due to the five spiritual faculties. When the spiritual faculties are there, there is no mental hindrance. So without the mental hindrance, your mind state is always the meditative state. Because Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya will make your mind beautiful, heedful, aware, constantly aware, ever mindful. So 1.4 is the natural consequence of that cultivation leading to enlightenment. Sati will allow them to also understand how the mind stirs via their wrong view or delusion to react to sense experience, to arise the craving which has the evil roots, to condition their own suffering. This is how Pure Land chanting can also lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. Note, Sati is awareness or mindfulness before the knowing, and Samadhi is the stability of it, that is, the mind that has Samadhi is collected and unwavering, and that is the silent mind. And this silent mind with Samadhi, because it's collected and unwavering, it will not stir or waver. at the moment of sense experience. That is when you see something in the midst of life, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think of something. It is always collected and unwavering. Even sudden shock or lightning strike, it will stay there, quiet, still. It will not waver because of the samadhi. So, all this understanding will transform and straighten your view about Mahayana traditions, teaching, and cultivation. So hopefully with this, people can have better understanding of both the Theravada and the Mahayana tradition. They are based on the same teaching, except the approach is different. So when you cannot understand what they do, it doesn't mean that they are not doing it correctly. But when you understand what they do, it's no different, isn't it? From the way I explained, it's exactly based on the Theravada teaching. And you can develop the understanding of it because that Theravada teaching is good enough for you to develop all this understanding. And that is also the reason why the Buddha at that time, he started off by teaching the handful of leaf, the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. But these are the teaching that is conducive for enlightenment in the here and the now, for awakening. The others, which are like the leaves in the forest over the trees and in the forest, are the things that he have developed the understanding to. But they are not essential for the awakening. This may be for knowledge sake. That's the reason why at the Samsipa group, the Buddha saw the condition and picked up a handful of leaves from the forest ground. Then he asked the monk, he said, "Oh, bhikkhu, which is small, the handful of leaf that I hold on my hand as compared to the leaf that are in the forest above and below?" Definitely, the monk answered, the bhikkhu answered, "Oh Lord, the trees, the leaves that are in the trees and the forest ground are a lot more than the handful of leaves that you hold." Then the Buddha explained to them, he said, "Likewise," he said, "what I have taught you is just this handful of leaves. What I understood is like all the leaves that is in the forest, up in the tree and in the forest ground. Why did I only teach you the handful of leaves?" the Buddha said. Then the Buddha actually introduced that teaching. He said, "Because this is conducive for enlightenment, for awakening. And what are these handful of leaves?" he explained. That's how the teaching comes about. And this one is connected to the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first turning of the Dhamma wheel. He said, this handful of leaf is actually the essence of his teaching. They are the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. Then he go on to explain, even for himself, before he became fully enlightened, he also need to understand this Four Noble Truths in its three turning before he can proclaim to be the fully enlightened one. So it shows the importance of the essential Theravada teaching, the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. And this Four Noble Truths is where all his essential Dhamma and other teachings spin off, comes about. And in fact, if you look at all the various traditions, maybe Theravada, Mahayana, Vajra, the common denomination is always the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. Every tradition has that. It's only people don't understand the essential teaching and don't know how to interpret it to develop the understanding of the various traditions. So when you have the Dhamma, you have the understanding, then you can understand all tradition. Then there is no more issue, no more division, no more problem. So hopefully with this sharing, it can help to bring about more harmony, more understanding. And I prefer the Buddhist community to become a very big family of true Kayanamitas, instead of dividing yourself into various traditions. We should form a big Dhamma family of true Kayanamitas, Dhamma friends. Okay, we will continue with the sharing. 1.5. Cultivation of the five spiritual faculties leading to meditation. Sadha or faith will make your mind confident, composed, and very calm. Hence, no more restlessness and doubt. So this is to explain to you how the five spiritual faculties, when developed, they can help you to root out the five mental hindrances. So Sadha is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. And when you have strong faith in him and his teaching, your mind will be very calm, very composed. Then you have a lot of confidence in him and his teaching. Hence, that composed mind will be able to help you to overcome your doubt. Because you have faith, it will also help you to overcome the restlessness of mind. So these two mental hindrances is gone. And when there is faith, it will drive you to cultivate. That's how you develop virya. And when there is virya, you will not be sleepy anymore. Because this virya or spiritual zeal will drive you to diligently cultivate. So sleepiness, sloth and torpor, the third mental hindrance, will cease to be. Then when you have sati, you are not heedless anymore. You have clarity, you are mindful, and you are always aware, and your mind is always with the moment in sati. And when you stabilize it, samadhi will arise. With samadhi established, the mind will be collected and unwavering. Hence, it can see things as they are to understand the truth and the reality, leading to the wisdom and the enlightenment. Once these five spiritual faculties are in place, your mental hindrance will be gone. Then you will automatically know how to meditate. The other part that was not shared, but is like you can understand very easily, is the first two, sensual desire and ill will, mental hindrance. How do you overcome them? When you have sati, when you are aware without thought, there is no duality, you understand? No light, no dislike. But there is no word, no concept to condition emotion. The duality, the negativity of mind state, positive and negative craving. So sensual desire and ill will cease when you have sati. That's why sati is very important. When you have sati and samadhi, there is no thinking. The mind does not waver or stir. That's how it transforms you. Then you will not create the duality. Sensual desire, you will not arise. The habitual stirring of the mind or habitual tendency, the reactive mind, will cease to be. Then when there is wisdom also, you can be at peace at all times. That's how the five spiritual faculties all cease to be. Then when you have sati and samadhi and wisdom, all the five mental hindrances cannot arise at all. Cannot arise at all. That's why your mind state is so beautiful. Like Po Cheng say, complete awareness, silent, clarity, still, without thought and without mental hindrance. Oh, so beautiful. She always says so amazing. Then the other aspect of the five spiritual faculty and the five mental hindrances, they are complete opposite. When you lack the five spiritual faculty, you no need to train on. The mental hindrance automatically come on. Because without the five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will be there. Because you cannot do away with it, because that is the natural tendency of the heedless mind, the egoic mind, with the delusion, with the wrong view. That's the reason why this understanding of these two categories of Dhamma is very important. And in the Theravada teaching, it's not really taught. They are taught as separate teaching. They are not taught as complete opposite. You know? And very few people can explain to you how these two category of Dhamma is to be understood so that you can develop the meditation accordingly. Because without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will come in. And what are mental hindrance? Mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's the reason why you cannot meditate. You think a lot, you are heedless. The moment you want to sit, you want to meditate, you want to develop the calm state and the peaceful state, you can't. You realize you think a lot. Your mind wanders off very fast, or you become sleepy. What are all these? Mental hindrance. Or there is doubt when you are not sure, am I doing it correctly? Is it like that? Did the Buddha say this? Is this samadhi? Is this sati? Is this one? Then without understanding, you become gullible. You go and note that and create more thinking and end up with all the thought-based meditation which will lead you nowhere. That's how people get into trouble. There's a reason why they can't develop the meditation at all. So people with this problem and don't understand, they come out with method and technique, but they don't know how to deal with the mind that is heedless. The solution is very simple. Don't fight the mental hindrance. Don't suppress, don't control, don't do anything with it. Just let it be. Then cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. Then all this mental hindrance will cease to be. So this understanding is very fundamental to cultivation, to develop the correct meditation. If you don't understand this, you can be wasting your time for umpteen years. Even how diligent you are going to retreat, it has no meaning. In and out of retreat for umpteen years. End of the day, you are back to square one. We are in the midst of daily life. You can't maintain that mindfulness, that awareness, that mind state that you have developed while you had the retreat. And that mind state must be sati-based, awareness-based. You must realize the awareness nature. Not all the fantastic concentration, the calm state of mind, the jhana, and all those things, the energy field, the fantastic meditation. They are not relevant actually, not important. But some of this mind state, they are natural byproduct of correct meditation. Even awareness-based meditation can lead to the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the clarity of mind, the calm state of awareness, the silent mind, the direct seeing. But it's not a conditioned state, it's a free mind that is able to be in this state of heedfulness, awareness. The conditioned mind is all energy field, concentration, samatha, thought-based meditation. So when you understand all this, you will not go the wrong way. You will not make mistakes. You will know how to meditate accordingly. So when you have understanding, the Dhamma is very simple. Meditation is also very simple, very easy. But when you don't have the understanding, I can tell you, you can go wrong. You can get yourself detoured and end up in Holland, never find your way back. So bear all this in mind and develop the clear understanding so that you will progress along the path of Dhamma. You will not be gullible and deluded. Okay, now 10:04, we can stop here. Maybe it's... Did I finish the meditation part? Oh, never mind. We stop at 1.5, because there is still 1.6, 1.7, and 1.8. All these are very beautiful. 1.9, oh, a few more, but very beautiful. Well, at that time, we went into it very deep. All this subheading, they came about later. It was initially my sharing. Then later on, all this subheading came about. Very beautiful. That's why they also help compound the thing. You should all rejoice and thank them. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There's a reason why Brother Song, he liked this appendix. He read through it so many times. Everywhere he go last time, he bring along these notes. This appendix form. He shared with a few Kayamita. I said, you must read this. All the answer is there. Everything you want to know about meditation is there. And the whole Heart Sutta is like encyclopedia. A lot of beautiful Dhamma teachings, they are all there, very clearly explained and spelled out, and very precise, straight from the heart. Okay, so we will open up for Q&A. Ah, yes. The link to the book, just now that I mentioned, I think Brother Suyan has put it on the link, the chat. Then we can also put it on the My Kayamita website after this. I think Suyan can help to paste it on the My Kayamita website. WhatsApp, sorry. On our My Kayamita WhatsApp. So that you all can have the soft copy. So this book, The Importance of Promoting True Kayamitaship Among Buddhist Devotees, Dharma Practitioners and Cultivators, is a very good book. Very good book. We will go through it also one of these sessions. Okay, now we will open up for meditation reporting and asking of questions. Question and answer session.
Sukhyo to everyone.
Yes, Sukhyo, yes.
Good evening, Brother.
Yeah. Yeah, good evening.
Yeah, me, yeah. Nominate me in asking question?
Whatever. Report meditation, ask question, share your understanding.
As usual, I have been saying that I never know or being doubtful on meditating. So, but Brother Teo been mentioning it's easy, right? And also, like, as long you know the five spiritual faculty, then you will develop. But those do takes time in a way, right? I suppose it still needs the condition for the person to develop by time. Not everyone. Mm-hmm. Where they understood the ideas of, like, you know, getting the sadha, virya, you know, when in place already, that doesn't mean that they will surely, how to say, it still needs a condition for them to get the...
Okay, I will answer your question. I think I understand what your question is. And your condition of mind state that make you ask that type of question. Mm-hmm. In a certain way, what you say is true. It depends on the individual. You're not everybody is the same. So how fast you develop the spiritual faculty, it depends on you. If you are serious, no need to wait. Not what you think. Yeah, just how you say it will take some time, isn't it? Not immediately, isn't it? Oh, if you are serious, there and then, Sada Virya Sati. Maybe Sati Samadhi and Panya later, but Sada and Virya can come immediately. You remember what I shared with you or not? In the year 1971, the moment I read about the Four Noble Truths, and I knew what that thing was, so beautiful, I never turned back. Straight away, without hesitation, no need to search, that's it. And I went all out to develop the understanding. Do you know why I did that? It's because I see the importance of that teaching. If I am born as a living being, especially this life as a human, where I can have all the understanding and the opportunity to have the good life. Without this Dhamma understanding, I will not have all this. That's the reason why I never look back. I go on. Well, it meant so much to my entire existence. Not only this life, life after life. Whenever I choose to come or I have to come, if I don't have this Dhamma understanding, I will not survive. I will become miserable, afflicted. I don't understand life. I will not have the ability to live life. So seeing the importance will drive you. What is important to you? It's not about what you have been running around and doing, all those things. If you think those are more important, then you will give up on the spiritual faculty. Because people, that word is what? Procrastinate. Yeah? Procrastinate. Huh? Based on what? They don't see the importance. Understand? Huh? They say, never mind, wait till I got more time. Wait till I retire. Or maybe give me another 5 years. 10 years. Then you continue to do those things that you have been doing. But the question you must ask is, if you continue to do those things that you have been doing, how does it help you to develop the understanding of life, to have the good life? Is it just something that you chase around when you have the interest, then you just do things without much understanding, then you didn't really achieve much. Because most people, they don't understand life, they become heedless, and they do a lot of things that is actually not beneficial. Doesn't bring about understanding, doesn't bring about transformation in their life, doesn't bring about the condition for them to develop good understanding and transform their life, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, so that their life will turn around for the better. Then they will have the love, the joy, the clarity of mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the heedful living, leading to all the joy, happiness and understanding, that everything will go their way following the nature's law, the law of karma and all those things. So if you don't see the importance, you will continue to procrastinate and develop all those excuses as not to do it. Like just now you mentioned, not everybody can do it. It takes time. So the excuse is, why worry? It takes time, so it won't be overnight. That's why I say in certain sense you're not wrong, everyone is different. But if you don't see the importance, then you end up like that. Then you don't give it priority. You don't work on it. If you see the importance, that time put into the development of the five spiritual faculty will transform you completely. Then when you have the understanding and the transformation, whatever you want to do in life, that time you do with more efficiency, clarity, and you do it very well. why not you go for this first? Because this one can really make a big impact in your life, can really transform you. Without the spiritual faculty, I realize a lot of people become healers because the mental hindrance are there. They are so strong. They become habitual tendency and you become healers running around. And the Buddha said the healers are as if dead. It's only heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. You are heedless, you don't stand a chance. So your life, you decide. There is no right or wrong. So hopefully this explanation can help you make that decision, Ananda. Can you follow?
Yeah, thank you very much. Maybe I'm still not so that, even though I think I'm quite sadda in a way, but maybe I'm not that good yet.
It's the way your mind state is now. Well, when you are at this phase of life, with this type of mental, I won't call it understanding, with this type of mind state, your conditioning, you will think like that. You will have that type of thought because you don't have that past to actually make you like very serious about meditation, the spiritual understanding, and the teaching. If you have the past, you will not think like that. You will not behave like that. Like you said, according to you, you have actually worked very hard. You have developed the sadda. And I don't deny that. But that is according to your viewpoint at this moment. But for a real cultivator, your faith is not the correct one. Because your faith, you think by participating in the chanting and all those things, the faith can come about. No. The real faith, like I explained, is to reflect and contemplate who is the Buddha. Why is he such a great, unique being? He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. And his teaching can transform living beings and make them enlightened so that they can be free from suffering. Their mind state have clarity, they are heedful. So when you understand all this, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude and respect for the Buddha and his teaching. But how to find a teacher that is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue? You can say he is the wisest of them that arise as human being, the wisest and the most virtuous. And to have such a great teacher, you should count your blessing, gratitude every day. And you somehow want to learn his teaching. You somehow want to believe that you already have faith. To you is already good enough, then maybe later on you will do it. But if you really understand who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is, and how wonderful the teaching is, it's a priceless gem. You will go all out for it. What else is more important? Not all the money and others. I can tell you. My emphasis is the Dhamma. That's why I give up the luxurious materialistic life. I have two choices at the age of 24 when I graduate. I knew I can be very successful in my career in the materialistic field, in the midst of society and all those things, but I choose the spiritual path. That's why it created a great difference in my life, impact. Otherwise, I can be really successful. I can really become somebody very, very successful in the career field of engineering and all things. But I choose to lie low, to go for the spiritual understanding and cultivation. That's why I spend a lot of time on cultivation. So that is for your sharing. Huh? I hope you are not discouraged.
I would like to thank Brother Teo because as per your saying also that is from me that I mentioned before. I previously or I started with more the chanting everything I really never do the meditations and by attending the class for a few times and then I realized the meditation is
very important. Really, it will transform you.
Yes, you it really makes me
everything you do in life become different. You are efficient. You have clarity. You have understanding. You take care of karma. Otherwise, you won't. You continue. Of course, there is improvement. I will not deny that. You have improved in many ways, especially Jayanta and you. You all have developed a lot of wholesomeness too. Because you have been very helpful and all those things. But the seriousness about the spiritual cultivation and the cultivation, starting with the five spiritual faculties to drive you, is very important. Without the spiritual faculties, you cannot understand spiritual teaching. The mental hindrance will hinder you, will overwhelm you. So understand that. See the importance. Then work on this. Then after that, maybe you spend 2 months on it. Spend more time. I wouldn't say 100% of your time. 40-50%. Spend more time. Then still go about doing what you have to do in life. Then when that spiritual faculty come in and your understanding come in, you transform, you become a different person. The way you do things all different. You become very, very different. You are more efficient, you have clarity, you have understanding, then you understand the Dhamma, you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then your entire life will transform, you become very beautiful. Okay? So this hopefully can help you. And you and Jayanta are very close.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Teo. It really benefit me a lot by attending the class. Thank you.
Then all this, you go back, you listen again. It will become different. When you pay attention, attentively listen. Then let it sink in. Then investigate whether what I say is meaningful or not, beneficial or not. If beneficial, why must you procrastinate? Why must you wait? Go for it. Go all out for it. And it doesn't cost you any money. You only have to put in the time, the effort, the diligence. Like you say, sadha you have but not strong enough. Your sadha is based on your version. The one I teach you on just now, understand who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is, and how wonderful that teaching he has given to the world. So when you have that understanding, your faith becomes different. And it will drive you because you see the importance. Okay? Thank you for your
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Brother, again. Yeah. Thank you for everything, for all the teaching.
Okay. Yes. Ananda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brother, so,
yes.
So, just like, just now where we are having the sitting, the meditation time.
Yeah.
So how should it consider like for a person, how would it be said the person is meditating where I'm trying to, or not trying, I'm not trying to think anything. I try to relax myself.
Okay.
So does that mean that I'm meditating or?
Okay. That question need a question, because the way you answer means you still don't understand what is meditation. You still don't understand what are you doing in the in the name of meditation. Can you follow? If you already know what you are doing, you won't be asking that question, right? Does what you do consider meditation? So what I need to ask you back a question so that you can understand is, have you understood what is meditation? which we have gone through for so many times. That's why you didn't get that right. Until now, you still don't know what you are doing. What is the Buddha's advice? I guide you along. To meditate, what is the first thing that you must develop? Dhammapada verse 21 is what?
Heedfulness.
Ah, so what is heedfulness?
Awareness. Just aware.
There are two parts to heedfulness.
Oh.
Verse 23. Constantly meditative and ever mindful. You must have these two mind states, remember? And how to be ever mindful? You have to train your mind to be aware first, mindful. Then stabilize it, only can become ever mindful. Then after you have this heedful mind that is ever mindful, then only can you use it to meditate, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, constantly meditating. So your starting point should be to train your mind to be aware, to be mindful. Then just now you say you just relax and don't want to think, maintain awareness. Is that meditation? So now I ask you back. What you are doing, if you have understood, you know that is meditation. But because you didn't understand, you doubt, so you are not doing it correctly. Do you understand? So this question tonight you ask is very important. Now I repeat again. First you say you relax. True or not? How do you relax? Are you completely body and mind relaxed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not always I can make it.
Initially, of course, you cannot because you don't know how to really relax. Because you are running around and your mind is very active, I know. From the way you last time talked, but now you have improved. So very likely, you have a lot of thinking. Understand not? Your thought process, your heedless thinking, because you are hardly mindful throughout the day, you don't have the stability or spiritual faculty. So the mental hindrance will arise. Heedless thinking will arise. Sometimes sleepiness will arise. Let it arise, understand or not? You're supposed to relax and maintain awareness. You know what is maintain awareness or not? Every time the mind aware, finish. No need to know, don't go and follow. Don't do anything. As long as you continue to be patiently relaxed and maintain awareness, this mind will settle down. That is the part you fail to understand. The first part also you haven't trained, that's why your meditation cannot progress. You're supposed to be patiently meditating, means relax and maintain awareness, until this mind becomes very quiet and very peaceful, until it settles down and naturally aware. That free mind is aware, and that state is not easy to come by, unless you have the faith. You have the understanding and patiently do until the shift of consciousness comes, like what Po Cheng they all experience and many Kayamita experience. So this shift of consciousness you cannot understand now because you haven't experienced it. The shift of consciousness is like suddenly your mind becomes very quiet. All of a sudden, the thinking, everything no more. The agitation, the whatever mind state that your mundane mind stir, create, all cease to be. But you, to have that condition, you must know how to relax and don't try to know, don't do anything, just maintain awareness and let things be. Then let everything settle down. That is meditation itself. Then when you are able to do it one day, that's why I say be patient. Sometimes it may take up to half an hour. But at least you patiently relax, maintain awareness. When it happens, you understand. Then you can see the big difference within the mind that has become more quiet, more aware, where you didn't think, you just relax and maintain awareness. Every time aware, you finish. You don't continue with the proliferation of thought process, the thinking. That is what meditation is all about. Relax and aware. Very simple. Do that. No need to know anything else. That's why I say, don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Relax. Maintain awareness. You ask David. David managed to get it. Last night he cannot meditate like you. Now he can meditate half an hour, sometimes 1 hour. The mind becomes very quiet. Then he becomes more efficient when he is in the office, when he do his thing. That is what meditation is. You have to learn that, Ananda. Because for so long, it didn't go in. And luckily today you ask. At least today I think you start to understand. My doctor want to help you further.
I thought of one part that might not be clear. Every time my dad say relax and aware, actually I get a feeling that a lot of people don't know aware of what. Yeah. Relax and aware, but aware of what. Actually, it's not easy to grasp that concept of aware of your body and mind, because a lot of things goes on in the body or mind. And in order to be aware, you actually have to be heedful. But before you are heedful, it feels like there's nothing to be aware of. So I thought of a analogy. It's like, let's say meditation is a skill you want to acquire. Let's think about it as a skill like singing. If you want to learn how to sing, when you learn a song, when you say, well, let's say sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and if I don't sing it well, I sing it like talking, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, am I singing? So your question is, am I meditating is similar to, am I singing? But if you keep singing this way for 10 years, that means you were not aware of you were trying to sing. When you are aware of your singing, you will see the common mistakes that you happen, and you will fix it one by one automatically without people actually needing to tell you. You hear it very clearly. You try and record, and you hear yourself. You try a few ways that works for you. You will find your way to improve. I think for me that was the experience, to find out what meditation means to me. How can I improve? Because there's no one method that will fit everyone. If you're looking for, is this correct? If this is wrong, can you give me the right way? There's no answer like that. Because everyone meditates differently. Everyone sings differently. I cannot tell you, put your tongue like that, or expand your lung like that. It's not mechanical like robot one. People find out and experiment with their vocal cords on their own. Same thing with meditation. So that's the best analogy I can think of. Thank you.
Yeah, like Sue say, everyone is different, so you have to find your own understanding, your own way. Eh? But more important is, the question, aware of what, is a wrong question. Because, like I shared with you, there was one seminar, remember, the Buddhist seminar, I think, conducted by a monk. And in the meditation retreat seminar, I think it was on the four foundation of mindfulness, I think. Then one of the participant or yogi, he came out and he asked a question. He said, we all practice mindfulness, awareness. Mindful of what? Aware of what? Then the gullible thing is, the person who conduct the meditation, go and answer him. Because that itself is a wrong question. Because mindfulness or awareness is the awareness itself before the knowing. So when you say mindful of what, aware of what, means you don't understand what is mindfulness. The moment you're aware of that thing, you perceive it already, you are no longer mindful. Understand now? That's why I say, you have a mind, consciousness trapped inside your body. Then your physical body has the senses. It can hear, it can smell, it can taste, it can tactile feel or think. Especially tactile consciousness when you are in the form of meditation and thought consciousness. They can arise. Then when you arise, your mind can be aware of it. So the moment you aware, finish, means what?
don't want to know. What is there to be aware? When you try to know, you create perception, then your views, opinion, and conditioning come in, then the thought proliferate. Then how can you maintain awareness? Maintain awareness means like Ingby, they already know. He said, he described to me, he said, like Brother Teo said, he lie down morning, wake up that time, silent everything, and just maintain awareness. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. It can be a heartbeat, it can be a hearing, or what. Don't try to know. Just aware, finish. Don't even want to perceive what it is. Just aware. Aware. Or when you aware because of your old habitual tendency, aware, perceive, also never mind. Finish. After that, finish. Don't continue. Don't create any more thinking. So that mind that is just aware and finish is like mind sweeping method. Relax, aware. Means don't think. Understand not? Once you relax and maintain awareness, or you say relax and feel, mind sweeping method, you just feel. You don't think. Understand not? Then feel. Sensation. Sensation is okay before the perception, before the thought, before you describe the emotion, like and dislike. So feel, aware, feel, finish. Whatever that come to mind, aware, finish. That is meditation. Don't try to know. Then it will start to build up. It will start to become more and more quiet, because when you don't do anything, you don't give it any more curiosity or mental thinking or mental energy, then all the heedless thinking will slow down. Because without the feel, to feel is thinking or continue stirring of emotion and all things, the mind will become quiet. It will start to slow down. It's like the very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. Then you realize this mundane mind become slowly settled down. Then all of a sudden it becomes like very quiet. And then you will experience a shift in consciousness. Because suddenly the awareness is aware of that quiet moment. Means the thinking, everything, like suddenly the sankhara become like no more or very little. There is like no more movement, no more activity, no more sankhara activity. No more sense contact and all those things. Everything has become so quiet. That is the shift. When you experience that shift, that is the beginning of the mind experiencing sati, the silent mind. Then continue to relax into it and let it develop until it becomes very stable. Until your mind is just aware. Aware of what? Aware of the awareness nature. There is a nature, there is not a being. Before the perception. The moment the word come out, the concept come out, the perception come out, you are not aware already. That's why awareness is mindfulness before the knowing. Or mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. You just aware, that's it. The mind that is aware is a nature. It's not a being, it's not an egoic mind, it's not a thought. Understand that. And that one is not easy to understand. Yeah. So maybe now with today's sharing, it will help many people. Yeah, I believe a lot of people also don't know how to meditate. But if you have been attentively listening, you will pick it up. A lot of Kayamita pick it up. Yeah. Ingbi is one of them. Then there are a few more. Yeah, when she described to me the meditation, I know she will progress. She will do well. And she has good experience. That's why she has a lot of joy that day after she developed some form of experience, which is very good. So anyway, that thing, she said she will not share until later. So be patient. So a lot of people can actually develop it. So all this understanding hopefully can help you, Ananda. Okay? So luckily you bring up the condition.
Thank you, brother.
You ask that question. So everyone is different. You have to find your own way. But based on what I described, that will help you a lot. Okay, anybody else? Oh, Colin, yeah.
Hi, Brother Teo.
Yeah, Sadhu. Oh, I heard your birthday just passed by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was last month.
Last month, huh? Oh, Sadhu, yeah. So anyway, yeah. Wish you a happy birthday, belated one, huh?
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I just want to share my meditation experience yesterday.
Oh, Sadhu. Yeah,
so
very good.
I was sitting in the morning
yeah.
in front of the altar.
Yeah.
So as I was settling down, my mind was very active.
Yeah, you will be aware. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. So this time I was just aware and be with the
With that thing, huh?
Yes.
At peace with them. Then
yes,
it will slow down.
Like firing all the mind was
things. Because coming. When you are working, you are very actively using your thought process. That's why that will trigger off the respond to memory, that thinking will come out. So never mind.
So the next thing I did was, and I did differently this time. I did not sit down.
Yeah.
I also did not lie down. Somehow I just decided to go to the altar there and start to clean the altar.
That is a very good exercise. When you do it mindfully, you realize the thinking will slow down too.
When
you do it mindfully, you become more peaceful. Then the faith develops. That's why you must do the thing that is linked to spiritual cultivation and practices. So when you do that, your thinking will become like slow down because you are mindful. When you are mindful, it can reverse the heedless thinking. So when you are at the altar, you do that, the faith comes in. The spiritual faculty come in. Then you realize the hindrance start to slowly, the restlessness of mind, the thinking all start to slowly settle down. And all this can happen. That's why it's a good exercise. You should try it. Like Po Cheng say, after you develop the understanding and the sati, when she go and buy fruit, she choose the fruit with mindfulness and it becomes so different. There is so much joy in doing that.
yeah.
So different.
I was just slowly cleaning and just wiping the altar.
Yeah.
And the previously all the thinking just
no more.
I was just doing it.
Then you will come to realize when you are mindful, those thinking cannot arise.
They will
cease.
Then
you continue to develop more and more of this mindfulness, heedfulness activity throughout the day, then your mind state will always be in the meditative state. For you, at the moment, it's not easy because you are working. As an engineer, you have to do a lot of work. So a lot of mental activity and all things. But with the Dhamma understanding, it can help you in many ways. And you have actually done well, Roland. Because you already so different from last time when you first came. So all this, you can actually develop the clear understanding as you develop mindfulness. Then awareness. Then as you progress, you will go through the transformation and the understanding based on your unique path and cultivation. Everyone is different. So you will develop it differently, which is very good. So today, your sharing on cleaning the altar is very good. You can continue. Yeah.
Yeah. So I continue to do that and until suddenly there was a memory that came out. So this memory came out. Actually, I cannot remember what was it, but I only remember. I knew that in that memory that this is something that I did was not correct. It was wrong.
Yeah, you will have that understanding.
And then suddenly, it was a link. Then I suddenly felt grateful that I had my father.
Yeah. Very
so
good.
Was a gratitude. Like a very strong gratitude.
Yeah.
A very thankful gratitude.
Sadhu.
I cannot remember what was it, but I just knew that.
Never mind, it's connected to that thing, the trigger of the virtue in you. When you have the Dhamma, you will have more virtuous mind state, like gratitude, respect, contentment, joy, sympathetic joy, like rejoicing. You keep on having this type of mind state on, then you will perceive things differently. No more like last time, every time reactive, perceiving negativity of mind state, fear, worry, anxiety, project your thought. Now different, with the Dhamma, with the understanding, your virtuous thoughts start to surface. You become more understanding, more loving. Then you have more gratitude, contentment. Then you become more simple, like humility, everything, they start to surface in you. You are no longer aggressive, you are more patient. Then your mindfulness will make you more sensitive. That's how you actually transform and improve on your development of Dhamma understanding. And this is how you later on, when you observe more and more, you will know how to straighten your view to develop all this understanding and share with people and teach people. That this is how you have transformed. From previously, you have a lot of karmic negativity, karmic obstruction and karmic friction that is very negative, that make your mind state full of anger, full of hatred, full of negative tendency and emotion. Then everything like not right, didn't go your way. Then when you understand the Dhamma, you start to cultivate differently. Then when you start to ask for forgiveness, then when you start to change over to follow the advice of the Buddha, keep the precept, then avoid evil, do good, then meditate, silence your mind. Then you realize your life changed. You become like more happy, more peaceful, like more things go your way. Then a lot of things like you share with me unexpectedly, it turned out to be so beautiful, like you are so blessed. Then you have a lot of joy, a lot of understanding. Then things that can never expect to happen one, because of your sincerity, your aspiration, you ask for forgiveness and did all those pure wish, then it suddenly materialized, turn around, and many things happen. That's how your life become different. Like your dad come back to you, your brother come back to you, and even office thing, everything starts to like fall into place, which is very good. There are a lot of things like meant to be, blessing in this guy. Like that day, I think my daughter shared with me your experience. You told them about the cutter, the tower crane and the cutter. Then you realize the tower crane came, you don't have cutter. Then luckily the Basiburo guy gone. Then it solved your problem. Otherwise it will cost your company quite a lot of money. Then you cannot get the work done. So all this is like karma, meant to be. Which is very beautiful. Good.
So the next thing I did was I thank the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha.
Yeah, sadhu.
And I was expressed the gratitude.
Yeah.
And of course, there's another thing I did was what Brother Teo taught me to do was invoke the power and merits on behalf.
Yeah, that one very powerful.
And whatever meritorious action that they have done and contributed from distant past until now.
Sadhu.
So may they be enlightened and aware and avoid the foolish.
Yes.
May
out
be the wise.
May out be the wise. Very good, sadhu. That one is very beautiful.
So the night was my mom's birthday.
Oh,
so
sadhu.
We celebrated with her. So something happened, and it was the first time, even I have never seen it. My father kissed my mom.
Wow, sadhu.
And he was so shocked, you know.
Yeah, sadhu.
My father is a very hard man.
Yeah.
Expressive.
Because of your metta.
My entire family was, funny, right?
Yeah,
in a happy way.
Actually, your metta and your pure wish make this possible. That's why amazing thing can happen, really. You never believe on and it can happen.
So the message I wanted to share was it's something we have to be patient.
Yeah.
It is not something I did one time, but it is over the years.
Yeah, over the years.
I did it with faith.
Faith and understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So this is with patience and must do with faith.
Yeah. And it has happened to you.
Diligently.
And it has happened to you in your last few years many times, this type of thing.
So if it can happen to me, I think it can happen to everybody
who is a cultivator, who is sincere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it sincerely.
Yeah, sadhu. Faith, sincerity. Yeah, sadhu. Hey, thank you so much, Colin, for your good sharing. Yeah, sadhu. This is good for Kayamita. It can give them understanding and faith, then they can apply. So far, I think Kolon is one of the few Kayamita that really apply, and really the thing becomes so beautiful, so amazing, and so wonderful. Sadhu.